This is going to be a powerful teaching. I'm going to try and finish, in fact, the whole series today, if possible. But quickly, I want to say hello to Penti. And hello to Prabhu. Oh, what a name. Wow. Hello to Ellen. Hello to Anna. And Kamar. It says, pray for my wife from Pakistan. Oh, Lord. I will today. Let's believe God together. Hello to Stanley and Daniel, bless you, and Sarah from Pakistan. Oh, I love it. I'm so glad many of you are joining me from Pakistan, because I love Pakistan. I've never been there, but years ago I had a friend in Canada, and since I met him at that time, I began to meet more people from Pakistan. It was wonderful. Today, a great teaching, wonderful Jesus. Be our teacher through your blessed Holy Spirit. I give you praise. And God's people said, Amen. Okay, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Remember, revelation gifts, vocal gifts, power gifts. 9 gifts in all. And we already dealt with the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Now I'm actually into vocal gifts, the gift of tongues, which we began to talk about yesterday. Recall, there are 3 kinds of tongues. Number 1, Acts 2, the tongue that is understood, because when they begin to speak in tongues, they understood them. Then, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, where it's mysteries unto God that no man understands, so that's our prayer language. And number 3, a tongue that needs to be interpreted, which we're going to talk about today. So, let's get into 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. I'm giving you headlines today on this. You know, I did bring a teaching quite a while ago on tongues. I went on for days with it, and you really enjoyed that one. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to look at verse 13. And the Bible says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray, that he may interpret. So we're going to talk about today the gift of interpretation of tongues. This gift, again, given by the Holy Spirit, equal to prophecy, is given by prayer. Because it says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray, pray that he may interpret. So the interpretation of tongues comes through prayer, when we ask the Lord that we want to be able to interpret so we can bless the church. And really, only those who pray in tongues can receive that gift of interpretation of tongues. You can't have interpretation of tongues unless you yourself speak in tongues. And it's equal to prophecy, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So here we see that the gift of the interpretation of tongues is equal to prophecy. And again, that comes with prayer. Let's talk about now the 6th gift of the Holy Spirit, which all is in the group of the vocal gifts, which is prophecy. Now, I'm going to spend a little extra time on this, because there's so much to talk about with this one. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, comfort. Now, the realm of the prophetic, there's 4 different realms. Number 1, there's the office of a prophet. Number 2, there is the spirit of prophecy, mentioned in 1 Samuel 19, which I'll talk about. Then you have the gift of prophecy, and then you have the word of prophecy. Now, let me just put it in a different order. Let's begin with the word of prophecy. So the word of prophecy, and then after that, the spirit of prophecy. And then after that, the office of a prophet. And after that, the gift of prophecy. So let me go in that order. I think it'll be simple for you. First of all, when we talk about prophecy, we have to understand that the Bible itself is prophecy. That's called the prophecy of Scripture in Peter. So when we preach the word, we're actually prophesying too. And that realm of the prophetic has no human mixture because it is pure word. The second realm, the spirit of prophecy, is 1 Samuel 19. Do you remember when Saul was looking for David? He was chasing David all over the nation of Israel. And David had gone at that time to be with the prophet Samuel in a place called Naoth. And Samuel was standing prophesying with the prophets, and Saul sent some soldiers to catch David. And when they came, they all came under the influence, began to prophesy. He sent another group, same thing happened. He sent a third group, same thing happened. Then he finally went himself. And the Bible says, as he came close, the spirit of prophecy came on him, and he prophesied all day and all night, laying naked on the ground. Now, what came out of his lips was anointed by God, but his actions were demonic. But so it's possible to prophesy and yet be under the influence of a demon, yet your words are given by the Holy Spirit. Because it says in 1 Samuel 19 that the Spirit of God came upon Saul, he prophesied. The day before, the chapter before that, 1 Samuel 18, we see Saul prophesying under the influence of a demon completely, walking around wanting to kill David, and finally he tries to kill him, and David fled. But back to 1 Samuel 19, what happened? Well, the spirit of prophecy is the atmosphere of the prophetic, where someone walks into a meeting where the anointing is flowing, and that anointing comes on him too, and he begins to receive the blessings of God, yet he himself may not even be saved. You heard me right. He begins to receive the anointing, he begins to receive the blessings. Now, he's not filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not saved, but he begins to be touched by God, healed, even delivered, and so on. So these are realities. And prophesy. Don't be shocked when I tell you this. It's possible for someone to prophesy who's not even saved. You say, what? Well, I mean, look at Saul. He prophesied in that chapter, and he had a demon in him. Was he saved? Of course not. So it's possible. Now, it's God's will, it says, that we all prophesy. The spirit of prophecy is that, you know, atmosphere of the prophetic. Let me just finish quickly. And then you have the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet, like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Ezekiel, that affect nations, not just individuals. But then you have the gift of prophecy, which we just read about here in 1 Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies speaks to men to edification, exhortation, comfort. So when someone comes to you and gives you a personal word, it has borders. And the borders are, it has to edify you, exhort you, comfort you. If somebody comes and says you're going to die tomorrow, well, you can break those words because that's not the Lord who sent him. Or if someone comes with a very negative, horrible word that brings fear to your heart, dismiss it completely. It's not God. Because personal prophecy is for, clearly, edification. The word, you know, to edify means to build you up. Exhortation means to stir you up. Comfort means peace. So if there's no building you up, and if there's no stirring you up, for the Lord, I mean, and if there's not peace, Just break the words in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that will arise against you in judgment, you will condemn. Simple. You have to condemn it. Don't you dare accept that stuff. And there's a lot of it out there. A lady last week sent me a text from India. One of the so-called prophets sent her a horrible word, and he told her to give money and pray. I thought, oh my Lord, that's crazy what's going on out there. It's like bizarre. So for money, they're scaring people with prophecy. Refuse it in Jesus' name. I just sense someone has had that happen to you. Lord, I break that fear in the mighty name of Jesus. Release them from it. Lord, I give you praise. Amen, amen, amen. Anyways, Numbers 11:29 says that, you know, Moses said that God wants us all to prophesy. And remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. He said, follow after charity, but desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. God wants you all to prophesy. Now, this also comes as we minister to the Lord. If you want to be prophetic, there's no need for anyone to lay hands on you, you know, and people laying hands, releasing the prophetic on you, and sometimes it's not even biblical. But let's look at Acts. Let's just stay with the Bible here, okay? Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. How did they prophesy? They prophesied as they ministered unto the Lord. So if you really want to prophesy, just begin ministering to the Lord himself. It says, as they ministered, verse 2, Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's another key. Fasting also releases the prophetic on your life. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So, what caused them to prophesy? Ministering to the Lord and fasting. But prophecy has to be judged. You know, this is something that we have to be careful with. And we judge it with the Word of God. We say, is this in the Bible or what they said is not? If it's not, we have got to break it. That's how we judge it. We don't judge it by saying, well, you know, I'm going to judge. No, this is not of God, and we walk away. No, no, no. We break those words in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says, every tongue that will arise against you in judgment, you have to condemn. This is the heritage of the children and the servants of the Lord. So don't let anyone prophesy over you when you know it's not God. Okay? Now, let's finish today the whole series. I didn't know I would do it in 4 days, but yeah, I love it. Faith, the power gift, faith. Because under the power gifts is faith, healings, miracles. It's the God-given ability to believe God for the impossible. In a service or a situation. Now, that also is the gift of faith. It's not the measure of faith that God imparts at salvation, nor is it the fruit of faith that comes when we live the Christian life. There are three manifestations of faith. There's the gift of faith. There is the measure of faith. There's the fruit of faith. The measure of faith is really the first one that comes at salvation. God gives us a measure of faith, and then we have to develop that measure with the Word of God. That's the one where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. That's not the gift of faith. That's the measure of faith. Okay? And the measure of faith keeps growing into a fruit of faith. And the fruit of faith becomes a manifestation of the Holy Spirit himself through our life. But, you know, what Paul is talking about here is the gift of faith. So let's deal with that. The gift of faith is not the measure of faith, nor is it the fruit of faith. It's the gift. That gift comes for special moments, for special miracles, for special happenings, and then it lifts. Example. When I had my meetings, and I still have my meetings today, of course, but in the Crusades especially, sometimes the gift of faith would come on me so strong, where I would do things that I would not do otherwise outside the anointing. Take people's braces off and take their neck braces off and do all kinds of things and get them in out of wheelchairs. The gift of faith comes on me. And it's happened to me, thousands of times. and still does to this day, where sometimes we have to go a step further. We have to see the power of God that is that invisible, limitless source from heaven, and resource, I should say, from heaven. So, while living faith or general faith is also a gift from the Lord, but that gift, of course, comes through the Word. Now, this is a gift that comes for a reason and a season. Very, very different from the measure of faith, which also is a gift for salvation. So the gift of faith is a gift of the Spirit that comes upon us to believe for something we need right there and then it lifts. Okay? That gift of faith sometimes comes on you when you're in the car, on the highway. It's happened to me. And you sense danger. And then you act immediately. You get off the highway. That's faith. Gift of faith. I will never forget, I was on the 405 one time. And I sensed real danger. And Tim Brasek was driving me. I said, Tim, get off the highway right now. He didn't know why. Everything in me knew he had to get off. And a major accident hit right as we got off. The gift of faith came in operation. On a boat. In Florida, Ormond Beach, we went fishing with an Italian gentleman. All my brothers were with me. We're 40 miles from shore. When suddenly I screamed, "We gotta get back to shore now!" And everybody was screaming at me, all mad because we just got there, and they all wanted to fish. You know, I said, "Get now, or I'm gonna swim." I was really adamant. And the man who was a wonderful man, who was the owner of the boat, took us back. An hour later, he calls me after we got back. He said, "How did you know?" I said, what are you talking about?" He said, "I just called. An hour after we got on shore, the boat was underwater. While we were walking out, a crack showed up in the boat, and it was leaking while we were out there. The gift of faith came into me, and we got saved out of that. It wasn't the word of knowledge, because the gift of faith is action. Where God just, bang, you got to do it now. And I did it. And I'm still here because of it. And it comes for a reason and a season. Now, let's talk about the gifts of healing. That's a part of the Great Commission. Every believer has the gifts of healing. Mark 16:18, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, sometimes this gift of healing brings immediate, instantaneous healings. Sometimes it's gradual. For example, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, it talks about the gift of healing in the life of the Lord Jesus, when it was actually gradual when the healing took place, because it says here, "Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend." Remember, a man came to the Lord and he said, go your way, your son lives. And in verse 52 of John 4, it says, "Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So he began to receive his healing. Or sometimes that gift comes through the spoken word. Matthew 8:8, for example, we see the man says, "Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." These are not miracles, these are healings. Healings also happen through the presence of Jesus. Luke 5:17, "And the power of God was present to heal. The gift of healing should be in every believer's life. James 5:14, "They will anoint them with oil, the elders will anoint with oil, and people will be healed." So healing is in your hands. Did you know that? So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of healing came with it. It's all in the package. You just need to stir the gift. Stir the gift of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, it's all there in your life. Stir the gift of tongues. Stir the gifts of the interpretation of tongues. Stir the gift of prophecy. I've been talking about that. Stir the gift of faith. stir the gift of healing. These are extremely important. And finally, the working of miracles. The working of miracles extends beyond the physical and extends beyond even the Christian life, because it's the performance of something which is against the law of nature itself. So Acts 4:33, it says that God performed miracles through the apostles. I'm going to tell you about some that I've seen with my own eyes that are incredible. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. It says, of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This is magnificent. So, great power. But now, what did that great power do? Well, let's look at it. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. It says, and a certain man lame with his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And that man was crippled from his mother's womb. That is a miracle. So when he was healed, it shook Jerusalem, and thousands came to the Lord that day. That was a miracle. So a miracle is an act of wonder where someone had not walked before. But a healing is where someone has arthritis, but the pain goes. A fever goes. Some problem in the body disappears. For example, cancer is a healing because it leaves. But if someone gets up, out of a wheelchair, where he had not been walking for 40 years, that's a miracle. That's a creative act of God. But cancer is already in the body, and God simply removes it. So when something is removed, when an evil thing is removed, that the Bible calls healing. So someone lays hands on you, you have some infection, it leaves. You have some pain because of arthritis, it leaves. You have some other thing that is causing you pain, like cancer, it all goes. But let's say someone is dead, or someone is crippled, or someone hadn't walked like that man in Acts 3. Or someone was in a car accident and was crippled completely. That's a miracle. Francis Rantisi walked into my meetings back in the 70s, covered with metal from his neck down, completely crippled by an accident. Dear Danielle, a lady from Austria, who was one of the people who worked with me, walked up to him in the lobby and said, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. And the power of God hit him so hard that it shook the whole lobby. He began to tremble violently with the steel all over. He tore it all off his body and walked into the service running. Or Frances Scott, who had no bones in her legs in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. When I prayed, bones formed in her legs. My Hallelujah. These are miracles. God Almighty wants to use you in miracles. Notable miracles. Now listen here. I'm going to pray right now that God will do this. I was planning on doing it tomorrow. We're going to do it today. So I'll go just a little extra time if you don't mind. Acts 3 verse 2 I read. But I want to read something beautiful. I want to read Acts 4:16. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. It says, what shall we do? Now, these are the Pharisees. What shall we do? It says, because for indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem, and no one can deny it. So when miracles happen, no one can deny it. When a healing happens, people do deny it because they just can't explain it away. They try to explain it away. And that is when a healing happens. But when a miracle happens, they cannot. There's no way they can deny it. Impossible. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with you right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, come on, stretch your hands towards me. I'm going to believe, God, that the gifts will be stirred in you. Lord, let the gift be stirred. Ma ro kanta palba munta mane piel be piel be kinti meno. Muna muna kanta palba lalfi vianta kinti meno. Lord, touch your people now. Fill them afresh with the Holy Spirit. Anoint them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Let every gift begin to manifest in their life. Let the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits begin to manifest in their life. Let tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy manifest in their life. Let faith and healings and miracles manifest in their life. In Jesus' name. Lord, oh God, right now meet every need. Ask Him right now. Ask Him for the gifts. Just say, Father, I want them. If you want God to use you prophetically, just say, Lord, I want to prophesy to be a blessing to your people. Give me the gift of the interpretation of tongues, Lord. Now those who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill them now. Fill them now. Anoint them now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are sick in body. Bring healing. Bring recovery. Bring restoration. Bring wholeness and liberty. In Jesus' sweet name. Savior, don't pass us by. Lift your hand and say, Lord Jesus, don't pass me by. Hear my humble cry and touch my life. For your name's sake right now. Amen. The song says, while on others thou art falling, do not pass me by. Receive now in Jesus' name. Receive now. Yeah, He loves you. Ask Him today. Ask Him for those blessed gifts that He wants you to have in your life. He wants you to have them in your life. Receive it now. In Jesus' name. And then I want to pray with many of you. Don't you love this music? By the way, this is from our album on iTunes. I Need the Every Hour. There's a lot of beautiful albums we have now, music on iTunes. But I want to pray with you for your finances. Lord, meet that financial need. In Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord God. Bless the work of their hands. Anoint them in Jesus' name and multiply them. For your name's sake. Amen on. Amen. As you give today, trust Him. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. I promise you. The word of God is very clear. If we sow and we don't faint, we will receive the harvest. And God is not a man that He should lie to us. Honor the Lord with your substance. He'll bless you. Give to His work. He'll bless you. You do not have to worry about the future financially when you're a giver. The only people that have to worry are those who are not giving or those who give for unbiblical reasons. But when you give because God says so, and you're giving it to Him, and you say, Father, this is a seed I'm sowing with all my heart as I love you, God will reward you greatly. It's in His word. We cannot erase it from the Bible. Give it shall be given unto you is in the Bible. So do it now and watch what God will do for you and through you. Much love. I'll see you tomorrow again for another great teaching. I won't be teaching tomorrow on the gifts since I'm done, but I will be with you tomorrow. Live. Bye-bye.